and tinkle. Nanny grinned. "Ah," she said, "now the opera's over." Salzella opened his eyes. The stage was empty and dark and nevertheless brilliantly lit. That is, a huge shadowless light was streaming from some unseen source, and yet apart from Salzella himself, there was nothing for it to illuminate. Footsteps sounded in the distance. Their owner took some time to arrive, but when he stepped into the liquid air around Salzella, he seemed to burst into flame. He wore red, a red suit with red lace, a red cloak, red shoes with ruby buckles, and a broad-rimmed red hat with a huge red feather. He even walked with a long red stick, bedecked with red ribbons. But for someone who had taken such meticulous trouble with his costume, he'd been remiss in the matter of his mask. It was a crude one of a skull, such as might be bought in any theatrical shop. Salzella could even see the string. "Where did everyone go?" Salzella demanded. Unpleasant recent memories were beginning to bubble up in his mind. He couldn't quite recall them clearly at the moment, but the taste of them was bad. The figure said nothing. "Where's the orchestra? What happened to the audience?" There was a barely perceptible shrug from the tall red figure. Salzella began to notice other details. What he had thought was the stage seemed slightly gritty underfoot. The ceiling above him was a long way away, perhaps as far away as anything could be, and was filled with cold, hard points of light. "I asked you a question."
"Three questions, in fact."
The words turned up on the inside of Salzella's ears with no suggestion that they had had to travel like normal sound.
"You didn't answer me."
"Some things you have to work out for yourself. And this is one of them, believe me."
"Who are you? You're not a member of the cast, I know that. Take off that mask."
"As you wish. I do like to get into the spirit of the thing."
The figure removed its mask.
"And now take off that other mask," said Salzella, as the frozen fingers of dread rose through him.
Death touched a secret spring on the stick. A blade shot out, so thin that it was transparent, its edge glittering blue as air molecules were sliced into their component atoms.
"Ah," he said, raising the scythe. "There, I think you have me."
It was dark in the cellars, but Nanny Ogg had walked alone in the strange caverns under Lancre and through the nighttime forests with Granny Weatherwax. Darkness held no fears for an Ogg. She struck a match.
"Gribo?"
People had been tramping to and fro for hours. The darkness wasn't private anymore. It had taken quite a lot of people to carry all the money for a start. Up until the end of the opera, there had been something mysterious about all these cellars. Now they were just, well, damp underground rooms. Something that had lived here and moved on. Her foot rattled a piece of pottery. She grunted as she went down on one knee. Spilt mud and shards of broken pot littered the floor. Here and there, unrooted and snapped, were some unheeded pieces of dead twig. Only some kind of fool would have stuck bits of wood in pots of mud far underground and expected anything to happen. Nanny picked one up and sniffed it tentatively. It smelled of mud and nothing else. She'd have liked to have known how it had been done, just professional interest, of course, and she knew she never would now. Walter was a busy man now, up in the light. And for something to begin, other things had to end.
"We all wears a mask of one sort or another," she said to the damp air. "No sense in upsetting things now, eh?"
The coach didn't leave until 7 o'clock in the morning. By Lancre standards, that was practically midday. The witches got there early.
"I was hoping to shop for a few souvenirs," said Nanny, stamping her feet on the cobbles to keep warm. "For the kiddies."
"No time," said Granny Weatherwax.
"Not that it would have made any difference on account of me not having any money to buy 'em with," Nanny went on.
"Not my fault if you fritter your money away," said Granny.
"I don't recall having a single chance to frit."
"Money's only useful for the things it can do."
"Well, yes, I could have done with having some new boots for a start."
Nanny jiggled up and down a bit and whistled around her tooth.
"Nice of Mrs. Palm to let us stay there gratis," she said.
"Yes.
Of course, I helped out playing the piano and telling jokes."
"An added bonus," said Granny, nodding. And of course there was all those little nibbles I prepared, with the special party dip.
Yes, indeed, said Granny, poker-faced. Mrs. Palm was saying only...